Good morning. It's good to see you. Let's stand and sing together. I was buried beneath my shame.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
Come on, you call my name.
You call my name.
Sing it.
And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name. And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Saved us by his mercy. Sing and rejoice in that.
Now your mercy has saved my soul.
Freedom is all.
Now your freedom is all that I know.
Makes all things new.
The old made new. Jesus, when I met you.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You called my. Heavy, the chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name.
Amen. Well, let's take our offering. Somebody say hallelujah about the offering. Oh, amen. Well, we've been singing hallelujah all morning, so the Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Amen? Yeah, I often say he'll take it from a grouch, but he loves a cheerful giver. All right? So you be found faithful. Hey, two things I want you to know about. Number one, this Saturday is the 4th of July. And at 9 o'clock here in the worship place, we're going to have prayer from 9 to 10. We're going to have 4 calls to prayer, praying over 4 portions of our land. And I ask you to join me here at 9 o'clock. We'll sing a little bit, share it, but what we're going to need to do is pray. And so I encourage you, if you can come on Saturday morning, July 4, you come pray with us. If there's ever been a time America and the churches needed more prayer than now, I can't remember it. And I'm telling you, we need a fresh touch of the move of God within our nation. So you come pray if you can do it. If you can't be here, wherever you are, pause at 9 o'clock and join us while we pray together. Also, today is the day we're recognizing some of our graduates. Can't all of them be here at the next service, but a handful of them can be, and we're going to call the names of those at 11 o'clock. But one of those is Lacey Toyne, and she's coming right now to lead us as we pray together. Lacey, you make your way right here. They've got a microphone for you there. You can stand right here and lead us. She's a senior, was a senior out at Tate, has just finished. What are you going to do next, Lacey?
I'm going to Pensacola State, and then I'll go to UWF and get my special education degree.
Special ed. Amen. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you're going to stay right here with us and be a part and move right into the Corners building that we're getting ready to redo out here and be a part of that ministry. Grateful for this young lady and many others that have come through our ministry here at Olive. She's going to pray over us. After she prays, we'll take our morning offering. This group will sing, and then we'll open the Bible to the last three verses of the book of Genesis. Lacey, you lead us while we pray.
That's right. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and the opportunity we have to come in to this building and worship you, Lord. Thank you for Pastor, and I pray that you speak through him and have our hearts open to the word that he's bringing. Thank you for the ability that we have to worship you freely. I pray that you take this offering and use it to further your kingdom and as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, I start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, and I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now, there was Jesus. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces, every minute, every moment, where I've been or where I'm going, even when I didn't know it, I couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay, I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. There was Jesus.
There was Jesus.
In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been, shadows of the alleys,
there was Jesus.
In the fire and the
flood,
always is and always was. No, I'll never walk alone. You were always there. In the way
Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of Genesis, the last chapter, verses 24, 25, and 26. Those of you that worship with us today in online church, thank you for being a part of Olive Baptist this day. For those that are on the Warrington campus, thank you for being a part today. We're delighted that you are in your place. To those on radio, television, thank you as well for joining us here this morning on the last Sunday of June. If you are in online service today, we pray for you. Thank God for you. When you feel comfortable, you come back and join us here. But we have no judgment on your life. If you feel more comfortable being right there, thank you for tuning our way, being a part, worshiping and singing and opening the Word of God together with us this day. I bring greetings to 25 college students that I know are watching today down at Pensacola Beach. They're in town. They told me, said, Pastor, we're probably not going to get out and come to church, but we're going to gather around the computer and be there this morning. So for you 25 that are gathered there on the beach, stay safe, stay holy, and don't get burnt, all right? Amen. God bless you, and glad that you are here with us through our live stream today. Well, I come to this third message on the life of Joseph, and I entitle it Joseph's Bones and Last Words. We hear his story come to a conclusion in Genesis. Now, everybody in here knows the first word of the Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. But who knows the last words of the book of Genesis? Well, we're going to read them right here today. Genesis started in creation, it ends with a coffin. It started with glory and ends with a grave. Genesis started with the vastness of eternity and it ends with the shortness of time. It starts with the living God and it ends with a dead man. Genesis, that beginning book, we come to the life of Joseph, to the end. This now is the word of our great God. Genesis 50, verse 24. Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. Then when you go to the New Testament book of Hebrews, you know that 11th chapter is faith's roll call of all of those saints that you find in the Old Testament. And it seems to me what they said about them in that roll call, they could have said many things, but what they said in Hebrews 11 had to be very important. Notice what Hebrews 11 verse 26 said about Joseph. The Bible says, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his what? His bones. He gave orders concerning his bones. We just read about it. He said to those brothers and others, children, grandchildren, take my bones from Egypt to the land of promise, where God by oath said to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I'm going to give you this land. Joseph, in his dying moment, made three admonitions to the group around his deathbed. He said, bury me carry me and trust me. Bury me, then carry me, and always trust me. So I want us to dig out of the death of Joseph. Three, not only these admonitions, but the exhortations that come out of them. And I want you to see it with me this morning. Number one, he says to them to bury him. This is what I call the appointment of God. The appointment of God. Now, Joseph, as we've said, is the prime minister of all of Egypt. God's raised him up from a slave to being incarcerated to being the savior of Egypt through those years of famine and difficulty, and God used him to save Egypt. When he died, they embalmed him, put him in a coffin. It's where we get embalming, is from the Egyptians. You know King Tut, you all saw that, where he's preserved through the years, and they put him there with all the diamonds and the rubies and everything from, and they entomb him after they've embalmed him, and he's made a relic in Egypt. We find that. And here Joseph is saying, I want you to bury me. We all have an appointment with burial. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for men to die how many times? Once. Every man, every woman in this room has got an appointment with death, and after this comes the judgment. Now, listen to me this morning. Just like Joseph died, you're going to die. And you're either going to die, as the Bible says, in the faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13, all these died in faith when we read, by faith, all of these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that. You see that you can die in the faith, or you can die out of the faith. You're going to die either in faith or out of it. Which one are you today? Which one? You're one of those. You watch online today, are you in the faith or out of faith? The Bible says when you die, you either are in Christ or out of Christ. You are either in heaven or in hell. You either have believed or you have not believed. These died in the faith. Revelation 14, verse 13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest. You see, you can die in the faith, but also, friend, you die in the Lord. You either are in the Lord or you're in yourself. In the faith or in unbelief. In the Lord or out of the Lord. Which one are you? You're one of those. Well, hear me today. I got good news for you. Jesus died for you. If you will come to him, he will save you. If you'll call on his name, I don't care what you've done. If you'll come in repentance, Jesus Christ said, whoever calls on my name shall be saved. You saw Miss Debbie down here today. These girls that come into the Karis house, they come out of difficult backgrounds. And God reaches into that sin and draws them unto himself and saves. One day they'll die. Those girls will either stand in the Lord or in the flesh. They'll either stand in the faith or out of the faith. That's where you'll stand, beloved. I have people from time to time, they ask me, say, Pastor, I wouldn't want your job. I say, well, that day is I don't want my job. I said, what do you mean by that? They said, well, I just think about, you know, some of the things you're called on to do. I said, yeah, but I get called on to do lots of great stuff too. They said, yeah, but what about funerals? Said, that's got to be hard. I said, well, some of them are. They They said, it must be very difficult to do the funeral for someone that you don't know. They just call on you and you come and you've never met them. You don't know anything about them. And it's hard. I said, well, it's a challenge. But I said, let me tell you, the funeral that's tougher than that is for the person that I know well. And I well know that they are not prepared for the day of death. They are not in the faith. They are not in the Lord as best as I know. Only God knows all things. But what do you say when you stand over a box with a body, dead, and that person has told you, I am not a believer, I have not followed Christ, I'm not in the faith? What do you preach? What do you say? Well, first of all, every funeral is not for the deceased. It's for those that's living. Bury me. Friend, you're going to have a funeral. People don't like to call them that today. They call them memorial services. We get kind of scared to death. People don't like being buried anymore. Lots of people want to be cremated. I'm not here to debate that issue today. Don't cremate me. I said, don't cremate me. My ashes will rise up against you. No, don't cremate me. I want to be baptized like Jesus, and I want to be buried like Jesus. He is baptized in immersion. That's the way I was baptized, the way I think everybody ought to be baptized, the way some of you ought to be baptized. And the way Jesus was buried, they wrapped him up in linen cloth and put him in that cave grave. And that's where I want to be buried. But friend, you will die. Some of you in this place getting closer and closer. Some of y'all look like they may call me this week. Rodney Dangerfield said, I'm so old, every time I walk by a cemetery, two guys with a shovel run after me. Some of y'all getting close. You never know. We got word this week that a 3-year-old baby in this church died. That's a tough day. That's a tough funeral. No one knows the time, but you do have an appointment. Science can tell you some things. Doctors can say, well, you've got this long. One of our former members called me this week, said, Pastor, they've done everything for me they can do. This is a young man. He's much younger than I am. He said, I probably won't live 2 months. When I die, will you do a memorial service for my wife and family? He said, I've done everything. They can't tell him exactly, but they got him narrowed down into a few weeks. Friend, men can tell you about a period of time you may die. Let me tell you, God knows the moment. Because it's appointed unto every person once to die. Are you ready to die today? Are you ready to die? If you're not ready to die, you ought to run to Jesus. There's an old boy, he's been kind of popular on Facebook lately. He's carrying a sign in one of these demonstrations. I've seen it several times. He holds up the sign, says, if Jesus shows up, kill him again. That's his sign. Jesus loves that old boy. Every time I see it, I pray he gets saved. Let me tell you, if Jesus did show up, we would kill him again. You know what he'd do? He'd rise from the dead. Let me tell you, you can kill him, but you can't keep him dead. He got up, and because he got up, you can be saved today. Whether you're in this room, whether you're watching on a computer, whether you're at Warrington, wherever you are, let me tell you, if you'll run to Jesus and cry out, oh God, have mercy on my soul, God will save you this day. You should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should believe. Then you ought to be baptized. Death speaks of baptism speaks of death. We'll baptize somebody at 11 o'clock today, have one ready. And when they put you under the water, it's like being buried. It's like being buried. If the symbol was cremation, we'd sprinkle y'all over that water. But the symbol is going under the water, like being buried in the ground, and then coming out like resurrection. Friend, if you've believed, you ought to be baptized. Amen. If you've never been baptized after you got saved, you ought to come today and talk to one of the guys at the Next Step table. You ought to come right down here to see me. Say, Pastor, today I'm ready. You should believe. You should be baptized. You should belong. I got a letter right here. I got one of the greatest letters this week. This was a God letter. It's an elderly couple that's just moved. Well, they've been here several months. Moved to our city and had been coming, and they got to where they couldn't come. And the wife wrote me on behalf of the husband, and the wife wrote me this letter this week, and it's just a great, it's 2 pages. Said, Pastor, we've moved here, now we can't come, can we join the church? And she wrote out her testimony of when she got saved and he got saved, and said, we'd like to come be a part of the church, and said, can we join? And wherever we're a member, we like to give. Can you send us tithing envelopes? We got that letter in the mail this week. I don't mean I got it in the, I mean I sent one back this week, all right? That didn't get in the let's wait a while file. The day after I got this letter, I walked into a certain place of business in our city, and there sat that woman. I said, you know, I got the greatest letter in the mail yesterday. And she just kind of dropped her head a little bit. And then she smiled, and I said, oh, we gladly receive you. Glad you and your husband are coming. See, they had believed on the Lord. They'd been baptized by water, and then they want to belong. Some of you are here today, and you ought to belong. Some of you are online today, and you ought to belong to this church. You ought to write this preacher a letter. You ought to go online, send a text, let us know. You ought to text us at 94,000. Just text the word Savior. Let us know you've believed, you're ready to be baptized, that you want to belong and be a part. You see, death. It is that bell that rings. It says, get it up to date. Be ready. Because you never know. Joseph lived to be 110. You probably won't make it that long. You need to be ready. He said, first of all, bury me. Then secondly, Joseph said, carry me. Now, this is very interesting because Hebrews 11 says that he exhorted him about his bones. And then he said in this text to make sure that you carry my bones. Now, they put his bones in a bone box, in an ossuary. They put them in a bone box. And they didn't have them in Egypt. They took them out to Goshen. 350 years went by. 350 years. Moses showed up, was born, bulrushes, got out of the water, came the man. Plagues came, and the Jews had come to be millions in Egypt over these 350 years. Pharaoh was scared of them. And then the Exodus came, said, get out of here, just leave. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 13, where God gave a promise, in Genesis 13, for all the land which you see, this is what God said to Abraham, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever. Verse 16, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. He said to Abraham, I'm going to take you and I'm going to send you into Egypt's land. Now they've come out into Canaan. They've come out of Canaan into Egypt, and Joseph is believing the oath promise of God. And when he said, carry me, he's talking about the promises of God. God's promise, I'm going to take you from here back. to Canaan. They buried old Joseph. We find him in Joshua 24 and verse 32, the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money, they became the inheritance of Joseph's sons. Amen. They took him to Shechem. They buried him. They buried the bones of you. He believed. Listen to me, church. God made a promise. I'm going to take you to Canaan. Israel is in Israel today, 2,000 years after Christ. It's still the Holy Land. It's still the promised land of oath. Joseph saw it and he said, you're going to take me over there. And for 350 years they waited and they waited and they waited and they waited and they got ready to leave. And as they got ready to go out, Moses said, oh yeah, somebody grab that bone box. And they grabbed that ossuary, and they took it with them through the wilderness wandering. They carried the bones. When they couldn't get across the river, they had the bones. When God said to Moses, you're not going over, he had the bones. Somewhere, Moses passed those bones to Joshua. He said, listen, I've been to transport this far, but I'm not going to get in. You got to take these bones across that river. And the Bible tells us that he did. It was the promise of God that he was going. And listen to me. Joseph believed the... Are you believing the promises of God? Tell me, friend, all you got's the promises of God. And when he said, take my bones, he was telling them God's good for his word. He's given us promises. He's granted us precious and magnificent promises. Friend, if you'll believe the precious, look at that text. If you'll believe the precious and magnificent promises of God, you can become partakers of a what? A divine nature. Amen. God will bring this divinity into your life and you will escape the corruption that is in the world by the lust of your own heart, but you've got to stand on the promises of God. Friend, we do not live by explanation, we live by promise. You remember it in John chapter 9. There's a blind man, been blind since birth. Jesus passed by and the disciples looked and said, Master, who sinned? His mom and daddy or him? And Jesus said, neither one. But what you're about to see is to the glory of God. John 9, 1 through 4, read it sometime. You see, we don't live by what we can explain, we live by what God has promised. You hadn't heard me yet. You're so numb this morning, evidently, you've decided to believe the news rather than believe the good news. We don't live by what we can explain, we live by what God has promised. Precious and magnificent promises. Whenever you got a difficulty, you shouldn't ask why. You should ask, what now? What now, Lord? What's next? What are you going to do next? I'm telling you, God's for you. And you must believe the promises of God. It's called faith, beloved. You got to begin to live by faith. You got to believe what God says, not what man says. You need to turn off the news and turn on the good news. You need to come to this book and search the scriptures and find the promises. Joshua said, carry me and remember the promises of God. But there's one more thing he said. He told them, not only want you to bury me, that's the appointment of God, not only carry me, those are the promises of God. Thirdly, he said, trust me. That's the power of God. Now, church, look right here. Wake up. Everybody look right up here. All right, look right here.
This is it. Notice what he said in verse 24. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you. Look in verse 25. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you. Now take my bones up there. Listen to me, Olive. God will surely take care of you. Listen to me. Listen to me now. In the mess you're in, God will surely take care of you. Good Lord, somebody say amen on a Sunday morning. In the middle of a pandemic, somebody say, God's going to surely take care of me. Is there anybody happy in the house this morning? God will surely take care of you. God said, God will surely take care of you. This is the power of Almighty God. Daniel 4 and verse 17 tells us that he, the Most High, is the ruler of this world. He is. You go read it, Daniel 4, verse 17. He bestows it on whom he wishes, and he sets it over the lowliest of men. It is God who is the Most High. The great prayer that we pray, it ends in Matthew 6 and verse 10, verse 13 says, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. How long? Forever and ever. Amen. And then I want you to see it in Matthew 28, verse 18. It's called the Great Commission. He tells us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize the believers. We're to do all that. And Jesus came up and spoke to them and said, all exousia. All exousia. That's the Greek word. All exousia. The New American Standard translates it as on the board authority. But I think the King James may have the better translation in this particular text in case where he says, and all what has been given to me? Power. The word exousia can mean power, authority, and strength. Listen to me, church. Lord God help us. We've believed all this mess. Everybody's telling us the world's about to be over and everybody's going to die and the hospital's not going to be able to hold them. And you ought to be careful. You ought to wear a mask. You ought to wash your hands. You ought to set rotaros while we do all. But let me tell you, this world's not in charge. There's somebody got a last word, and it's not you, and it's not the World Health Organization. It's not anybody in charge of your health except God and God alone. No pit is so deep that God is not deeper still, said Betsy Ten Boom in a Nazi prison camp. Oh, men got power. This world's got some power, but not much. We can make a 50 megaton bomb and melt a city away, but who made planet Earth? We can put a man on the moon, but who made the moon? We spent millions and billions of dollars to go to the moon to figure out what's the moon made out of. Well, the Word of God tells us it's a big reflector. Sun hits it, that's how it illuminates. When they found out and they got to the moon, dug down in it, they found out that's exactly what we got here. The Word of God could have saved us trillions of dollars. Thank God we went to the moon. We did a lot of great things. Man ought to do that. But let me tell you, man does not have the power of God. You need to rely on your great God. You need to trust Him with all of your life. We got too many men of science and too few men of God. We need to learn to rely on the power of God. God bless you. People going to get sick. This virus is for real, but let me tell you, the power of God. You ought to trust God. Say, preacher, what if I get it? Well, take care of yourself. Drink water, vitamin C. Go to your doctor. In Jesus' name, don't let fear curl you up in a ball as if there is no God. We will come out on the other side of this. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm
I'm reminded when I look at people today about the little boy riding a stick pony. You remember I had one of those. You when you was a little kid, had a stick pony, had the horse's head on there, and you'd ride that stick pony. Little boy come riding in front of his daddy. He was just sweating profusely. He said, "Son, what's the matter with you?" He said, "I've been riding this stick pony, playing cowboy." Can I say that? Is that okay? I didn't say Indians. I just said cowboy, all right? He said, "I was riding it." He said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "Well, I'm exhausted. I'm hot." He said, "Well, cowboys don't get tired riding horses." He said, "Well, Daddy, on this stick horse, I have to provide my own giddy-up." The horse ain't got no giddy-up. I see lots of Christians. That's the way they live in their Christian life. They hanging on, and they look, but they providing their own giddy-up. Let me tell you, you don't have enough giddy-up to get through this. But God will surely take care of you. Said, "Preacher, you're getting a little overboard this morning. Let me tell you what the book says," and he said it twice. Matter of fact, when you go to Exodus, he said it a third time. God will take care of you. Jesus is sufficient. My Lord, he's got all the power needed. When Jesus was on planet Earth, he never met a crooked arm he didn't straighten. Never met a funeral procession he didn't break up. Never met a blind man he didn't open his eyes. He's got all power. I said he's got all power. He's got power to save, power to keep, power to heal, power to sustain. All power, all exousia, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. All the power of heaven, all the power is found in Christ. Joseph said, "Boys, trust me. God is surely going to take care of you." A few years ago, Liz and I went to Washington, D.C. We were there a little late, but the season was late, and we didn't realize we were there at the very peak day of the cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C. I'd never seen that before. It was absolutely gorgeous. All up and down that river, all those trees that had been given to America. We walked down that trail white as snow. We came to a place where the Martin Luther King Memorial stands. It's a colossal figure, huge granite into the sky. I read every inscription, and I was disappointed. I didn't find one scripture. I thought, "My Lord, it's a Baptist preacher. He didn't build it. Somebody else did." They had all kind of sayings everywhere. I thought, all the Bible he preached all those years, he ought to get one text. If nothing else, to let justice flow down out of the Old Testament. If it's there, I couldn't find it. I read again this week a portion of his 1967 speech. In 1967, in a speech, Martin Luther King asked the question, "Where do we go from here?" My Lord, be a good question to ask today, wouldn't it? In the middle of that phenomenal speech, King said, "Let us be dissatisfied until the day when no one shouts white power or black power, but talk of God's power and human power." I thought it was a good word. See, our problem is we'd rather provide our own galloping in our power. The old prophet from Selma and Montgomery and Memphis, he had it right. It's not white power. My Lord, we got enough of that. It's not black power. What we need is God's power. And we need the power of humankind that God puts in us. There's old Joseph. He said, boys, I'm 110. I'm about to die. When I die, carry my bones. And trust me. Trust me. God will surely take care of you. Now listen to me, and I'm done. How is Israel doing today? That little nation should have been dead 1,000 times. But it's not. The Egyptians tried to kill it, couldn't do it. Babylonians tried to kill it, couldn't do it. Hitler tried to kill them, couldn't do it. The promise God gave to the Jews, that little piece of ground is still there. And the Jew still inhabits. Lord, they argue and carry on. But it doesn't go away. Why? It says, God will surely take care of you. And if God takes care of the Jew like he said he would, if you are his child by second birth, you are then the apple of his eye. And the way he cared for Israel and does care for Israel, he cares for you as his child today. The very power of Almighty God. So quit you worrying and you whining. And you, what are we going to do this? I said, but preacher, what if I get it and die? What the greatest promotion you've ever had in your life? That was what we preach. Heaven sweeter than earth. Well, it's a lot sweeter than earth today. We just get to feeling like we're at home here. Friend, you're not at home. You're just a traveler passing through. Headed to glory. Headed to glory. Put my bones in a bone box. My wife asked me. She said, will you buy me what I want for Christmas? I said, I will. She said, we buried your daddy. We buried my mama. Only your mother is left. She said, in the next, if God tarries, 20 to 30 years, somewhere in that period of time, our kids are going to have to bury us. She said, for Christmas, would you buy me 2 cemetery plots? I said, for Christmas? She said, yes, what I want. So she went on vacation 2 weeks ago, and I went to work. And I bought her 3 because I found them on sale. If you buy 2, you get 1. Weirdest thing ever I've seen in my life, I'll tell you. So the other day, I took her out there. She said, would you lie down where it is? I can make your picture. I said, absolutely not. I will not. The son of one of our former members had these for sale. As a matter of fact, the three plots right in front of us, I did the funeral. One of those people, first time I took a trip to Israel with this church, they went with me to the Holy Land. They buried right there. If God tarries, I'll be buried behind them one of these days. So we went in to get them, sign the paper, make the payment. And as we went in, one of our deacons is walking out. Less than a week before, Brother Barry, we prayed for him right here. He had just buried his wife in that same cemetery. She was but 60 years old. We loved on him, encouraged him. We were kind of chuckling about getting our preparation done, but baby, it was real to him. He cried, I cried. I think Liz cried. She turned her head. And as we drove off, I discovered that my deacon's wife was better off than the three of us. That's what we teach, isn't it? She had an appointment and kept it. You've got an appointment, you'll keep it. Have you believed? Have you been baptized? Do you belong? One of these days, somebody, if you live in the South, they're going to tote you bones. They're going to tote you bones. They're going to pick up your bone box and they're going to carry it. Or you can get one that costs thousands of dollars. You can get one, or you can just get an old wooden box. It really doesn't matter. But somebody's going to carry your bones. And they're either going to burn you up or put you in a hole. If you live another 50 years, there may be another way to get buried. I don't know. But the day of last breath is coming. On that Warrington campus, are you ready? Watching online today, are you ready? If you want to believe on the Lord and talk to somebody about it, just text us at 94,000 today. The word Savior. Say, preacher, I need to talk to someone that'll tell me that. Can I speak? Yes. You need to just mail me a letter and want to join this church like this sweet lady did with she and her husband. You do that this week. You can find the address at 1836 East Olive Road, Pensacola, Florida, 32514. You be a part. If you're in this room today and you've never believed today on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go to those next step tables. Come right down here to this next step table and believe. But whatever you do, friend, you take out of here today believing God will take care of you. God will take care of you. I said God will take care of you. Lord, let's begin to live by God's people. Let's begin to believe Him. Doesn't make you dumb and you don't take precaution. But you live within the joy of the Holy Spirit of God. Church, I'm believing God. I drew a line to sand this week. And I decided I'm going to believe God for revival at Olive Baptist Church. I believe it's going to come. You say, preacher, we're pretty good. Yeah, pretty good is what gets you in a lot of trouble. I want the fresh wind of God to blow in this place. I don't know what's going to happen. Saturday may come before then. I'm just praying that God do something. Take us on a journey that we've never been on. And all of that begins when the preacher gets where he needs to be. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to trust God. Live or die, I'm going to trust Him. And take us where God wants us to go. We can touch this community through the Bible. God do more in a moment we can do in a lifetime. You've heard me say that again and again. I'm telling you, He can. If we'll but believe God and trust Him and really know that He will take care of us. Amen. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. I love him with all my heart. I pray that you love him with all of your heart. I'm going to pray. Last night I prayed over this city. There's a little group of ruffians doing some carousing and mean stuff the last three nights in Pensacola. I got word of it. Guy called me. He said they're going to be at a certain place. I went there at 8 o'clock last night, parked in a vacant lot across the street, and prayed for the police force, prayed for the safety of the police. They took care of business last night. I believe God answers the prayers of his people. I pray, and God settled that down. We need to learn to cry out. Cry out to God. In the middle of all this mess we're in, a bunch of it we've created ourselves, we need to learn to cry out to God. And God will take care of you. If you believe that, say amen. Stand to your feet. God love you today. I'll be so glad when I can give an invitation, have you come down here and hug my neck and cry and snot all over me. Amen. But right now, we're told to be a little careful. If you need to come to this altar while John sings, you do it. You need to decide for the Lord today, you go to that next step table. You come to this one right over here. We'll be here for you, and I hope you'll join me Saturday. Hope you'll come. Join me as we pray for revival here and around the world on the very 4th of July. Church, I love you. I thank God for you. Thank you for coming today. Man, it's a good crowd. Man, I love you. Debbie, we love you. Come see us often. Amen. Mean that with all our heart. Yeah. Her husband was a football coach. J. Jeffcoat. What a great guy. I've quoted him 1,000 times. I did the other night. I can just hear old Jay. He looked right. He said, "Preacher, there's two kinds of coaches, and there's two kinds of preachers." I said, "Yeah." He said, "There's coaches that are humble coaches." And he said, "Secondly, there are coaches that are going to be humble coaches." I said, "What'd you say, say?" He said, "There's two kinds of preachers. There's humble preachers, and there's those that's going to be humble preachers, because God's got a way of jerking you off your high horse and humbling you." And that's where God's people need to be today. Stop doing your own galloping. Let God give you power as you surrender unto him.